Welcome to the Hyphen Church Podcast, where faith meets the spaces in between. We're here to explore what it means to belong, to grow, and to encounter God in the midst of life's questions and complexities. Whether you're here to listen, reflect, or take a step forward, know that you're in the right place. Let's make space together for what God is doing in us and through us. Now, let's dive into today's message.
This series that Chris has been walking us through for about the past 5 weeks on the fruit of the Spirit, which, as Chris has pointed out, it's a singular fruit. And, you know, so often we try to pick and choose with them, you know, from, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We want to pick and choose, but as we've dug further into this, we see that you can't do that. They're with one another. They coincide together. As opposed to, they're like traits, they're little facets within this one big fruit. And that brings us to this week, well, where I am speaking on gentleness. You know, even as I've been here this morning and I've talked to a few people, it's so evident that we are so lacking as a society in gentleness. And it's weighing on me right now. It's so, you know, just from whatever we have going on in the world, the aggression, the frustration. So I just, my prayer is that as we listen today, that we're encouraged to go and just be who we are called to be for Him. So anyway, this past year, I have really gotten into houseplants. I think I've talked to a few people about them. And I started with just one. It's like this tiny pothos. And for those of you that don't know what a pothos is, it's a very easy plant. It can grow anywhere, essentially. It's not going to die. And I'm very grateful for that. And it forgives. And so I thought, how hard could this be? But then I very quickly realized that every plant is different. Some love bright light, some prefer shade, some need constant attention, and some just prefer to be left alone. And that's kind of how people are too. You can't treat everyone exactly the same, and you cannot expect the same result. Growth takes time, and it takes gentleness. And now I have about 50 plants, give or take. And it's been a journey of learning and discovery, and some are thriving, and some are hanging on by a thread. And I've accidentally killed a few, but that's okay. But what I've learned is that these plants respond to gentle care. If there's too much water, then their roots drown. If there's too little, they wither. If there's too much sun or wrong soil or neglect, they suffer. And no matter how good my intentions are, they do not grow through force or neglect. Growth happens slowly, attentively, patiently, and with gentle care. And as I've watched them, you know, I've said before, if I were a blogger, if I could commit to something, I would probably blog about all of the things that I've learned through plants this past year. But I've realized how much we are like those plants. In our spiritual lives and in our relationships and even in our own hearts, so very often, and maybe you guys don't, but I do. I try to force growth. I want it right now. I want to do it right now. Sometimes that leads me to being harsh with others and perhaps myself. We push for change. We try to control outcomes. We want to demand results that are just not yet ready to come. Sometimes we overdo it and we dry up. And often we end up being very weary and burdened. And when I think about the striving and the fixing and the forcing that we do so very often, trying to make ourselves better, trying to make people behave, trying to make things perfect, whatever that means, it's no wonder that we get tired. But then we hear Jesus' words in Matthew 11, and they kind of feel like a breath of fresh air. And they're not a command, they're an invitation. He says, come, rest. Let me show you a different way. So if you turn with me to Matthew 11, 25 through 30, and just follow along. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Would you pray with me? Father, take us, use us, empty us of ourselves, please. Give us nothing but you. Mold us. Shape us. We are here. Use us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus says, I am gentle and I am humble in heart. So those are not qualities that most people expected from the Messiah. People wanted strength. They wanted power, and they wanted revolution. But Jesus' strength was revealed through gentleness. Numbers 12, verse 3, it tells us that Moses was very humble, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. But that humility did not make him passive. It made him dependable under God's strength. Sometimes I think that gentleness begins when we finally stop trying to be impressive. And even in our faith, when we stop feeling like we have to perform or prove ourselves, the proud heart wants to be admired. When we're proud, we seek admiration. The gentle heart just wants to be with God. And that's when we finally start to find rest. Scripture often shows us that the human response to God and to his presence is falling face down. They're being overwhelmed with his holiness. Think about Moses at Mount Sinai, the people in Leviticus who fall down at God's manifestation, Daniel falling on his face when God's messages are delivered in visions, John in Revelation when he speaks of falling as though dead in the presence of the Almighty. They're not acts of weakness. They're expressions of his recognition and the recognition that God is greater. His ways are perfect, and his care is unmatched. When we understand how gentle God has been with us, withholding judgment, walking patiently with us, providing care when we are just unworthy, when we recognize that, I think we too will probably fall on our faces when we are in front of him, because it's going to happen. And when we do that, I think when we come face to face with that, I think we're finally going to recognize what he has done, maybe even grasp it, try to grasp it. And once we can put ourselves in that position, then we can finally allow ourselves to give and extend that same gentleness to others. It's our hearts that are naturally going to give that out. It's going to overflow from that. When I was given this and when I was studying this week, for the past couple weeks, I came out with so many questions. I came out with way more questions than what I had hoped to. And so I'm going to filter through some of those questions as I, per section, and I'm going to ask them. And I think that maybe we should ask ourselves these. And so the first question that I'm feeling like is how often do I forget the gentleness that God has shown me? Like, how often do we forget that? And for me, it's quite often. I've got three kids at home that I homeschool. And I think maybe daily I forget about that, and just in those little interactions alone. It's bigger than that. But for the scratching of the surface for this, for right now, that's where it starts creeping in. And then I ask myself, where is pride keeping me from reflecting that same gentleness to others? So where is my pride getting in the way of reflecting the gentleness that's been bestowed upon me from God? Jesus goes on and he connects humility to action. He connects humility to action in verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So gentleness is not just an internal posture. It's relational and it's practical and it's active. It's about learning from Jesus and walking alongside him and allowing his strength to shape how we live, not what we think should shape how we live. It's his strength. And the yoke in verse 29 is very significant. A yoke is a tool that links two animals together so that they can work as one. And it wasn't meant to be worn alone. Farmers would always pair a young and like a little dinky ox with an older and stronger one. And then the ox would set the older one would set the pace and carried most of the weight and guide the younger one in the right direction. So when Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," he's saying, "Come and walk beside me. Let me carry the load and let me teach you the rhythm of grace." When we take Christ's yoke, we are not crushed. We are all aligned with his strength. Now, our burdens, it's important to understand that our burdens do not disappear. Never once is that ever alluded to in anywhere in Scripture that I know of. But they do become manageable. They're not erased, but they do become manageable because we're now carrying them with him. And gentleness is the framework by which the yoke works. It's strength under control, submitted to love. Another question that I had come up is, how does Christ's invitation to rest challenge the way that I carry my burdens? So if he's telling me to rest, and I know that every time that I am burdened down by anything, I am just like, I'm overthinking and I'm trying to figure things out. But knowing that he's carrying with me, he wants to carry the maximum or the weight, the greater of the load. How does that change? How does that change how I carry my burdens? Jesus' gentleness is not meant to be contained within us. It flows outward. In 29, it says, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." The strength and humility of Christ's heart shows us how we should interact with the world around us. His gentleness restores instead of punishes. It invites rather than intimidates. And it guides instead of crushes. Even outside the church, so outside of, you know, Christianity, whatever you want to say, the combination of strength and care is recognized as effective. The other day I was in the car with my husband and we were traveling somewhere. He had to get on a conference call. So, you know, it was throughout the whole car and it was a bunch of leaders throughout the Northeast region of his company. And they were talking about giving feedback and they were talking about gently giving feedback by being aware of emotions, softening their facial expressions, and guiding without overwhelming. And I thought, how funny is that? Because that mirrors Scripture, and it mirrors what Scripture calls gentleness. And in Proverbs 15:1, it says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." So then, as I'm sitting there, I'm wondering, how do my words communicate gentleness, or the lack of it? How do my words communicate gentleness or the lack of it? It shows up in even the smallest moments in how we speak to our families and to our children, how we talk to our coworkers on a really hard day, how we react when someone cuts us off in traffic, how we respond to when we feel like there's been an injustice, either to ourselves or to someone else. How do we respond? Those are the places where the fruit of the Spirit is tested, because it's easy to say that we're gentle when life is calm. But true gentleness holds peace when everything in us wants to snap. Another question. Where could a gentle approach in my life open hearts instead of hardening them? I don't really know, but that was kind of raining in my mind as I'm going through this. We live in a culture that acts like force, dominance, and assertiveness are prizes to be won. And in that culture, gentleness is absolutely revolutionary. We live in a world where power is often measured by how loud you can be, enter the internet, by how much control you have, or how quickly that you can win an argument. But Jesus flips that completely upside down. When the world shouts, he whispers. When the world pushes, he embraces. And when the world demands proof, he says, come and see. Gentleness is not a lack of strength. Sometimes we think that. We think about bunnies, or at least I do, and I think of gentle. I think about holding a baby's head so that it doesn't crack, you know, or break their neck. Gentleness is not that. Gentleness is everything opposite of what we've been taught. It's purpose. It's choosing restraint when we could retaliate, whenever we want to push back. Restraint, that's gentleness. It's choosing peace when we could prove our point, because every one of us want to prove our point at some point. We want to prove that we're right. It's trusting that the Spirit's power is greater than our pressure. To be honest, gentleness stands out because it is so different from what people expect. When everyone else is harsh or defensive or dismissive, gentleness catches people off guard, and it makes them stop and wonder what's different about that person. And that's exactly the point. Living gently is a powerful witness to the character of God. It reflects a heart that's been transformed. It's a heart that no longer needs to control or to compete in a world where we are consistently trying to compete and control the outcomes of literally everything. And it does that because of Christ's strength. We are a world of harsh words and impatient hearts, but our gentleness becomes a visible reflection of Christ and who he is. He says it. He says, I am gentle. That's how he describes himself. He describes it that his nature as a human being is gentle. I don't think it's something we can look over or dismiss or, you know, rush past quickly. Or, you know, I think Chris said the one week, you know, use it as an excuse. Like, well, I'm not that. We can't do that with this. We can't do it with any of them. But this is the heart of who he is. Our gentleness, our lack of it, it shows up in everything, how we speak online. That's such a big one, and I know I talk about that a lot, but it's in our lives so often. How we even think to respond to something that we're seeing online. It's in how we respond when somebody disagrees with us. And that's hard, especially if it's a sibling or a family member, because you want to prove why you're right. How do we respond to that gently? It shows up when how we choose to pray for someone instead of criticizing them. It shows up when we bring peace into a tense moment instead of fuel to a fire. Every act, every calm word, every patient pause, every soft answer, it becomes a testimony that Jesus is who he says that he is. Galatians 6:1 tells us that if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Because gentleness preserves dignity, it lifts the bruised, and it creates space for healing and growth. If gentleness is our witness to the world, it also has a redemptive power in the lives around us, okay? It restores rather than punishes, and it lifts rather than crushes. We said this earlier, and it creates space for healing and for growth. Like a teacher guiding a struggling student, we correct, we instruct, and we celebrate small victories without shame. When we correct or confront, is our goal restoration or is it punishment? And that sits different as a parent. But in every day, is it to make somebody feel bad, or do you really want to try to help restore them? Think about the moments in your life where somebody has gently corrected you. How did that feel compared to being shamed or pushed? Probably good. Here's this one time I had a boss. He was the best boss I ever had in my life. He was actually a linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings and got out of his job and came to work for the company that I was working with. And I was a remote. I was really far away from Columbus. I was working in Lima then. And so I didn't get a lot of attention from the boss ever. And he was new. He had come new to the company. And I was always getting like yelled at for some, I don't even know why. It was just because the boss, our old boss was never there. Always thought I was doing the wrong thing. And then this new guy, Max, his name is Max. He came onto the scene and he sat down with me. I had been a year and a half with the previous boss and I was very close to quitting. It weighed on me heavily. It weighed on who I was as a person. It was not fun. But Max came along and he started talking to me, listened to me, guided me along the way, gave me a massive pay raise also, and just took me under his wing. And I mean, within a month I was promoted and it was amazing and it was great because he just took the time to be kind and listen and, you know, redirect when I needed it. And I just feel like, and I've taken that with me and I try to use that even in my day-to-day life when I can, because it feels so different, you know, from going like to the world beating you up to having somebody see you and to say, hey, you know, whether it be worth dollars, worth whatever, you're worth something. It's great. That's the power of restoration. I mean, it was, if we can give that to other people, that's how we reflect the work of Christ. Gentleness is cultivated by the Spirit, okay? And it's hard to say, like, this is what you should go and do. Because we all want that. We all want to know, what do I do next? What do I do from here? This is great information, but what do I do? There's a personal formation and a relational practice and leadership and authority. I broke it down to three things. So for personally, start noticing where you are getting frustrated and quick to snap. So you can do this by prayer. You can also do it by asking the people closest to you. Hey, when does it seem like I'm starting to get irritated or whatever? Because in those moments, that's when we snap and we're not gentle. So for me, when I'm tired or hungry, if I'm tired or hungry, I'm very quick to snap or to just be so short-tempered or be snippy. That's for me. So start asking the people in your life that see that. And then also pray for God to show it to you as well. So personally, that's what we can do. Relationally, so with other people, relationally, listen first. And listen with the intent to listen. Don't listen with the intent to respond. Speak with hope and offer correction that invites trust and growth. Trust, that's so important. It's easy to respond quickly, but listening first allows for what? It allows for the Spirit to guide what we're getting ready to say, as opposed to doing that knee-jerk reaction of like whatever we want to say. Pause. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. We're not comfortable with pauses in our society because we're always filling time. We're so uncomfortable with it. I'm uncomfortable with it sometimes. Get comfortable. We have to. And then in regards to leadership and authority, because I'm a firm believer that every single one of us is a leader in some way or another. Leadership does not look the way that we've been told. It looks the way that Jesus is. And if it looks the way that Jesus is, which it does, then every single one of us are a leader. Lead by example. You do this by demonstrating patience, clarity, and care without harshness. Essentially, leadership points people towards Christ, not away from Him. Every one of us are leaders, and everything that we do, people are looking at you every single day. You are a witness for Christ. In summary, Matthew 11, 25 through 30, what we read, it's more than just an invitation, okay? It's a revelation. Jesus' heart, who He is, who He describes Himself as. He describes His character as gentle. His authority is humble and His yoke is light. And He calls us to learn from Him, not just in theory, but in practice. And that's one thing I love about Hyphen, is that we are consistently showing how to put it to use, and we're not just being like, okay, this is great. See you on Sunday. How do we do this? How do we be the change that God has called us to be? That's what this is telling us. This is in practice right here. And it starts with a humble heart. Gentleness is strength under control. And it is power submitted to love. It is rest offered to the weary. And it's restoration offered to the broken. And I think when we grasp how truly gentle God is with us and how He has been with us, I think when we can finally grasp that, I think His gentleness is going to flow through us and it will go to every single person around us.